Hebrews 13. Verse 5, very familiar scripture. Reinforces what Jack was talking about this morning. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation or lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen. It's a promise.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your great and precious promises, Lord, that by them, Father, we may stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, Lord, the rock of your truth, the rock of protection, the rock of power, the rock of the Spirit, Lord, the rock of all that is of you, Lord God, and not of this world. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on heavenly things, not on things of the earth, Lord God, that we might walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and have that spiritual aspect about us, Father God, that people will be drawn to instead of the worldly aspect. We thank you in Jesus' name for your word, Lord God, and I pray that everybody be edified here today and that you be glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen, and all God's amen. People said,
amen. Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, I was thinking, Jack, about that hook thing. When Gloria was talking, how hooks are good if you're going fishing. But we as fishers of men have to put aside the hooks. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The key here is abandonment or lack thereof. That word to leave means to loosen, untie, and abandon. God will never do that. We are tied to him with everlasting ties. Praise be to God. To forsake means simply to abandon.
Yes.
And in the midst of the coming turmoil that we all know is coming upon this earth, this is a promise we're all going to need to cling to. It has old covenant roots. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. I'll just read it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Again, that word fail means he will not be weak, feeble, remiss, or idle on our behalf. He'll be there solidly.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus.
And he will not fail, let drop, withdraw, abandon, or desert us. Praise be to God. The context, of course, was Moses knowing that he wouldn't enter the promised land, but assuring Joshua that God would be with him no matter what. You know, I was thinking of this in light of the chaos that seems to be sweeping the earth. We often hear of children, newborns, being abandoned by their parents. Read all the time in the Post or whatever about infants being dumped in garbage cans and all manner of things. And you wonder how anyone could stoop to that. But thank God it's not so with the Lord. Once we commit our lives to him, he gives us a promise that he's going to have an everlasting hug around us. Praise be to God. Just want to read Psalm 27, verses 9 and 10. The Lord speaking through his prophet, and he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. I'm sorry, it's David talking. O God of my salvation, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Yes. Praise be to God. I love that. You know, my father died when I was 12. He didn't forsake me on purpose, but he wasn't there. But the Lord took me up. and said, guess what? You have a Father.
Amen.
And I'm one that will never die. And I'm one that will never leave you or forsake you. And again, that word forsake means abandon. God says, I'm your father, I'm your mother, I'm your brother, I'm your sister, I'm your friend. I'm whatever relationship that is good and positive in your life, I'm there and I'll never, ever abandon you. Praise be to God. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I want to read verses 27 through 34. Jesus speaking. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Praise be to God. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, or the trouble. Remember that old song, Sha Na 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 Na, Live for Today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's part of that trusting in the Lord, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, they're talking about worldwide food shortages now because of what's going on, not only here, but in other parts of the world. And this foolish thing of using ethanol so that all the farmers turn their cornfields into producing, you know, or their fields producing corn for ethanol. And now there's a shortage and the food prices for corn have gone up around the world. But Jesus here, you know, we have the Word of God. And He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. You know, I was listening to this station where they're talking about, what did they call it? Food insurance or something like that. And I looked it up on the website for like 2 weeks worth of food. They want like $2,000 for this freeze-dried food that you could buy, you know, and would keep and everything. And, you know, we have a much greater supply right here. If God could give His people manna in the wilderness all those years, every single day, He can supply all of our need, can He?
Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, in verse 26, just before that, Jesus makes it clear that we are far above the animal kingdom and precious to Him. Are ye not much better than they? Talking about the fowls of the air. We have been chosen to be the bride of Christ. And the Lord knows what we have need of while we await the wedding supper. Praise be to God. What a supper that's going to be, huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't want a bride so hand-wringing, uptight, that they can't function, nor one that won't trust Him and His benevolence. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. We don't need to be wringing our hands. What's coming upon the world? Oh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to eat? Where am I... You know, where's the next paycheck coming from or whatever? Because worrying can't help but only cause what? Dis-ease. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
We can't be at ease if we are worrying and troubled. And we can't add to our stature or our lifespan.
Amen.
And we certainly can't make ourselves look better in God's eyes. He sees the righteousness of His Son clothed upon us. You can't get any better than that. that sure, we can grow in the faith and we can grow in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. But we're already righteous in His sight. Praise be to God. And worrying is not going to make us any more righteous in His eyes than we already are. You know, David said in Psalm 39, verse 5, "Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Now, there's a real positive confession, isn't it?
What is that, 39.5? 39.5b,
actually, yes. And as far as clothing and appearance, if God beautifully appoints the flowers and the grass, which are going to quickly perish, how much more us who will live eternally, is what's implied in that verse 30. We're to be different from unbelievers who, not having Jesus, have to try to fill the void by focusing on the material. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And He has all power to do something about it, to supply those needs. You and I can work our fingers to the bone. I know there have been times when I've worked 3 jobs just to make ends meet. But God doesn't have to toil or labor. He can speak it into our lives, whatever that need might be. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. Concern ourselves with the important non-material, His righteousness. And trust that the other issues will fall into place. All issues of this life. You know, there's a principle here that transcends simply believing God for our material needs. It's a faith that encompasses all dimensions of our lives that we need to cede over to the Lord and entrust to His loving care. I looked up that word seed. It means to yield or formally surrender to another. That's what we need to do with the Lord, don't we? Sometimes it's in a negative form. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." It's talking about sin, but the principle is whatever is yielded or is not yielded to the Lord can become a bondage. And we're saying, in effect, that we know better than God or can manage better those areas that we're withholding from Him than He can. I can do a better job, God. I don't need to give that portion of my life over to you. I'm doing quite well with that area all on my own. Not a good move, is it? Not a good move at all. When we yield to God's wisdom and blessing, things just seem to work out, don't they?
Yes.
They always seem to work out perfectly. You know, I was thinking of, again, the manna. Giving manna to the Israelites in the wilderness, they were instructed to gather an omer per person each day. That's about 5 pints. And it says in Exodus 16, 17 and 18, "And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." What's being said here is that in their imperfect attempts to try to come up with an omer full of this stuff, you know, some of them got it right, some of them didn't get it right, but since they were yielded in obedience to God in going out to gather it in the first place, He made sure that the amount was perfect by putting it upon their hearts to share. "Oh, I have more, so I'll give a little to you. You have, okay." And they just spread it around, and everybody had no lack. whatsoever. There are so many lessons in that. I could do a whole sermon on that one. But we see the same principle in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 8:15. I'm not going to quote it, but where Paul quotes that scripture in exhorting the Corinthians to the same generosity of spirit. If we yield anything in the natural to the Lord, in giving, sharing, ministering, whatever, we'll never come up short.
Amen.
It's the same in the spiritual. Whatever we surrender to God and allow Him to administrate will accrue back to us in blessings.
Amen. That's right.
And we won't be shorted.
Amen.
You can't outgive God. Praise be to God. And He will not be in debt to any man. But that which is hoarded, like the manna, breeds worms, doesn't it? It's not good stuff. Doesn't breed good fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives if we're hoarding and not sharing with others. And not ceding every aspect of our lives over to God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you can probably quote it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus.
Praise God. There you go.
That describes an attitude of heart that God is looking for, which for the Christian should be an attitude of prayer, lifting all things great and small to the Lord. You know, I pray every week about what songs I should choose to sing here, you know? Everything great and small. Oh, I'd really like to do this song this week. No, it doesn't work that way. Praise be to God. Yielding anything that has a hold over us unto Him, and learning to trust that God shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. These scriptures are straight out of my God's Promises books that I have, you know, and that I've memorized over the years. And they hold true. They're not cliches. They hold true because God has upheld His word right from the very beginning of the creation. You know why God, who already knows what we have need of before we ask, nonetheless insists that we ask? He have not because He ask not. It says in James, doesn't it? Because, why? Because prayer, supplication, intercession changes the one praying as well as the circumstances prayed for.
Amen.
The more time you and I spend in prayer asking God, hopefully more for things for other people than ourselves, because He already knows what we have need of, it will change us. We're called to pray, as Steve read earlier, for those who despitefully use us, not for them to change, but so that our attitude toward them
Amen.
Will change.
That's right.
Jesus. And that one speaks to my heart, as some of you well know. You know, the above section of the Sermon on the Mount and all the sermon can be summarized as Paul did in Colossians 2:12. It says, if, meaning since, ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Paul had talked previously of our being baptized into Jesus' death and risen in newness of life. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because we've supposedly said goodbye to the old way of life, the old way of looking at things, and hello to God's way of perceiving, acting, talking, and thinking. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We supposedly have the mind of Christ, don't we?
That's right.
We need to exercise it as such. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are to live here as if we're already citizens of heaven, where none of our selfish and self-centered ways still exist. You know, there'll be no room for that up there. It won't exist at all. You know, God is going to so transform us that we will not only, you know, here we talk about being freed from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but up there we'll be freed from the very presence of sin. There won't be any.
Hallelujah.
There'll be no temptation for any of us. It will have left. We'll have a new body that is, you know, won't be like Adam and Eve's, where they were subject to temptation. There will be no temptation, and there will be no one to tempt. Another way to look at this verse is that our spiritual life, which only a Christian can understand and appreciate, is hidden from the world of unbelievers. So they're not going to understand the new us. But we need to get over that. How? Who was more misunderstood than Jesus? And getting back to the beginning, God wants us to so adopt this concept of freedom from cares of this life that we're content to live hand to mouth. If we put our trust in the unrighteous mammon and that mammon fails, what do we have left? You can't go anywhere on the radio or TV without hearing, you know, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. It's going to fail. You know, I've read scriptures where it says people are going to throw their silver and gold in the street. It'll be worthless, absolutely worthless. We have to put our trust in the righteous mammon,
Amen.
Which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If our trust is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, we know He can and will never fail us. He will never leave us nor forsake us in any way, shape, or form. We have to believe that with all of our hearts. You know, it came to me while I was filling out my monthly mileage voucher. It's like doing homework every month, you know, because I have to, every single mile has to be accounted for. I have to write it out in duplicate, you know, and it's like, you know, if I was smart, I'd jot down each entry each day. But I never do that, you know. So at the end of the month, I have a paper to write. And I was grumbling about having to, A, justify every mile, and B, be so dependent upon a monthly check and a weekly check, and wouldn't it be nice to have so much socked away, you know, or so much coming in that I wouldn't have to fret about all this. And then it hit me. I'm not supposed to fret.
That's right.
You know? I mean, that's the way it is. So accept it. That's the way it is. It's the way it's been all my life. I've been working since I was 12 years old, you know? Usually living hand to mouth, you know. Now I've got a little extra money coming in, and it's really nice. But still, you know, that could dry up like that. I have to keep my eyes on the Lord and His constant provision. He has never failed me, even when I didn't know Him, even when I wasn't saved. He took care of me for years. Praise be to God. That's the whole point. Even when I gather too little, somehow there's no lack. I don't know how God does that. You know? I've had times when I swore I didn't have enough balance in my checkbook to pay all the bills, and yet I paid all the bills. God supplies. Again, from the Sermon on the Mount, wind this down. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the very first blessing.
Yes.
And what Jesus was talking about, I want to read, summed up really well by the late Bible commentator. His name is William MacDonald. He says, this does not refer to natural disposition, but to one's deliberate choice and discipline. The poor in spirit are those who acknowledge their own helplessness and rely on God's omnipotence. They sense their spiritual need and find it supplied in the Lord. The kingdom of heaven, where self-sufficiency is no virtue and self-exaltation is a vice, belongs to such people. And I thought that was really well put. Praise be to God. So what areas are we not yielded to in the Lord that we need to? More importantly, we have the bread of life. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. There's something much higher than our material needs that we know God is going to supply anyway. And that is the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that man may eat thereof and not die. Obviously, we can't literally eat the bread of life, despite what the Catholics teach. But the context means that we're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means, to believe. And then we can partake of all the benefits and blessings of what he's done on our behalf. You know, while I have some quarrel with Augustine, his concise word on this says it all. Believe, and you have eaten. Praise be to God. Believe, and you'll never be abandoned. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. I pray, Father, that we'll take it to heart. I pray, Lord God, that we would know, that we know, that we know, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never abandon us, and you'll never not supply everything that we have need of as long as we continue to trust in you. And Father, I pray that we will cede over to you, Lord God, surrender those things that we are still holding on to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. We'll close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Oh, that's right. Lucille, would you come up and help me serve the elements?
Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are always our Father. You are our comforter. You are our provider.
Yes.
You're the one who comes running out to meet when we're still far away off.
Yes, Lord.
You are the one who gathers anyone who would into your arms. You are the healer. You are the redeemer.
Yes.
You are the restorer.
Yes.
You have made us more than conquerors just by being your children. And we love you with all our heart.
Yes.
All our soul. All our mind. And all our strength.
That's right.
You have lifted us up out in the miry clay. And we stand on such a beautiful rock. Jesus Christ the righteous. And when he redeemed us and died and rose again, he sent another comforter, which means another just like him. We thank you that you're with us, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're with us, comforting us, guiding us, correcting us, leading us, showing us the way, enlightening us. You just are watching over every last, every. When you say the hairs of our head are counted, we see you mean business. And we thank you for that. I pray, Father, that those things of your glory that we just described, Lord, would be manifest and hear your children. I don't see how it can be helped since we have been born of you, born of the incorruptible seed. And so I pray, Father, that you give us the ability to have those same heart's desires for all those we come in contact with in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jack, while you were praying and you said about how he runs to us when we're far off, I had no idea the story of the prodigal son was about me.
Amen.
It's not a story about someone and their two sons. It's about me before I was saved, and every day when I do something stupid out of the flesh, it's about me.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank God for it. I had no idea.
Amen.
Praise
be. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank
you. This is very nature.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you.